whether or not we're going to pursue the merger or finalize the merger, I guess, with Graceway Church. Many of you have been given ballots when you came in. What we'd like to do is we get these ballots in everybody's hands now. We have pencils in all the pews, which isn't normal, but they're there now. So if you need a pencil to fill one out, we'd like you to fill them out as soon as possible and put them in the offering plate when we collect the offering this morning. And then they'll be counted during the service. And at the end of the service today, we'll announce the outcome. So everybody will know when they go home today what happened and how it went, okay? So if you don't have a ballot, please hold your hand up. We got other fellows here to help me, and we'll make sure you get one right now.
Okay, all right. Well, big thing today there. We got to work. We got to do. Now, these quick announcements. We've got some happy birthdays in order. I'm going to botch this name, Carol Magulis. Is that close? I got it? Yeah. Justice Burdeen, and those are on the 23rd. And then a man named Messiah Jesus is on the 25th. And happy anniversary to Tom and Julia Akers, which is on the 23rd. Okay, and then we've got the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Is today the last day for it, or does it go throughout December? Okay, yeah. Okay, so remember, keep in mind, as we bring around offering, we'll have the gold buckets coming around. You can see our goal that we've got, and you can see kind of where we're at. Okay, this Tuesday, we'll have our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service at 5 p.m., and something cool about that is we'll be also doing the Lord's Supper.
Hi, my name is Lou. I'm a trustee here. A lot of you don't see me because I'm in the sound booth, but you'll know when there's a mistake made, because it'll probably be by me. So I'll apologize in advance for any of those audio-video glitches. I've been asked to read this memorandum of understanding, which has to do with the vote today. Basically summarizes the long list of stuff we've been talking about with the two church bodies. Number one, Calvary Baptist Church will merge with Graceway, becoming one united congregation. Our new name will be Graceway Church. Number two, Graceway will pay off Calvary's mortgage of approximately $200,000. Calvary's contribution will be the church building and contents. And number three, Pastor Martin will serve as senior pastor. Pastor Mike will serve as associate pastor for up to 2 years and continue at his current salary. He will have the option to retire or resign at any time during that period. So that's basically the synopsis of the Memorandum of Understanding.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead here and say a prayer. dear God, as always, every Sunday we come and we thank you for a place to gather and a place that gives our lives ultimate meaning, God. And so as we come before you today, we have serious choice before us, and we just pray that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit, each and every one of us, and give us wisdom and knowledge and discernment. And hopefully we've kind of worked through these already, but we just pray that you would bless whatever happens, God, and that your will be done, and that through whichever route this goes, that you would be glorified, God, and that you would continue to use us and Graceway as a tool to continue furthering your kingdom, God. And so we just also pray, we thank you for this Christmas season. We thank you for what it means to us. We thank you. We say it a lot, whether it's in sermons or in songs, God, but we can't really begin to grasp the profoundness that you sent your Son, God himself, to become a man and die in our place, God. And so we just pray that as we continue to move forward this next week or so of Christmas celebrations, that it would be at the forefronts of our minds, God, what this ultimately is about, and that's you, and that's you loving us. And so we just thank you for loving us, and we thank you for all that you do in our lives, God, and we pray that you would continue to work in us so that we can be useful for you. It's in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen.
If Lottie Moon showed up to church here on Sunday?
That's a great question.
Wow. That's a great question.
I love the fact that I think Lottie would feel comfortable coming in to a variety of people in our congregation.
I hope that she would be excited to see what her tiny little church has grown into.
I think that she would be excited to see a thriving local body of Christ. The Cartersville First Baptist of her day would have loved to see the Cartersville First Baptist of today. I think she'd love to see and hear about those that are called out to ministry through this body that have followed in her footsteps.
I think she would be the most pleased with the fact that that same spirit that God had placed on her going to win lost people, there's still people here that God's speaking to. I think if she heard those stories, she would smile and say, yep, God's still up to being God. So I think she would rejoice with that.
But I also think that she would want to shake us up a little bit and wake us up and make sure that we are continuing to work in the ways that God has asked us to work to spread the gospel.
And I think Lottie would look at us in the eye and say, hey, what we're doing, what you're doing is great, but how much more could there be?
All right, what more can we do? She would be the one instigating and provoking and saying, okay, when are we going? How can we do more?
There's a reason the unreached are unreached. And it's not always because they're resistant to the gospel or unresponsive to the gospel. Sometimes it's an issue of accessibility. They haven't had a chance to hear. They haven't had a chance to respond. And when you stand face to face with a truly unreached person and you share the gospel with them and they immediately respond and they believe the message and they accept Christ, you realize it's not because they're resistant. It's because they haven't had a chance to hear the gospel. My wife, Carla, and I have been IMB missionaries serving for over 40 years. We have been most of the time in Africa, and we're in Angola now. And, you know, driving this far, this long, to the southern part of the country along the Namibian border, it was tedious, but you make the effort. You tell the story of Jesus, and they respond. We've seen four new churches started among unreached peoples. In the last few days, we've just visited four groups that are meeting, worshiping together, praying together, and that's really exciting. To work among these people as IMB missionaries, to see them come to the Lord. Who would have thought when I was in the United States that I would be in Africa among tribal peoples sharing the gospel and seeing them respond? We are so grateful. It's a privilege and an honor to serve the Lord here and to know that we have not just the financial support, but the prayer support of Southern Baptists in the United States.
Christ was born. Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice, giving heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Man in peace before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. And Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now we hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this.
Once again, you've given us opportunity to come into this house of prayer to worship you once again. Thank you, Lord, for the for the privilege to do so. And as you know, Lord, we faced some challenging times here recently, God, and continue to do so. So we just pray, Lord, as as this vote goes forward today, Lord, that we will just be led by your Spirit and by what's on our heart and mind concerning Calvary Baptist Church. So, Lord, we just pray for the service today. We pray for the preaching of your word, the most important part of any service. And we just pray for Brother Mike as he delivers it. Bless this offering as we receive today, God. Use it for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
From angels' band.
Haven't done something for quite a while because of COVID. We used to turn, shake hands with each other, maybe hug and do all that kind of stuff. And then we were told we couldn't do that. And for some reason, we've never started doing it again. But that's going to stop today. So stand up with me, if you will. And turn to that right or left, shake that hand to that neighbor, and maybe say, Merry Christmas. Okay, now if somebody starts getting sick tomorrow or the next day, I was going to say, keep it to yourself. If you have your Bible, turn over to Psalms 46 this morning. You say, why Psalm 46? That doesn't have anything to do with the birth of Jesus. I know it. That's just what God brought on my mind today. And actually this week, not just today. Psalm 46, starting in verse 1. It's only 11 verses. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that rightly early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear asunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Just think of that. Father, what a privilege it is to come meet with your people, to think about the marvel and the wonder that took place so many years ago. The effects in your riffles are still like gigantic waves passing through the earth. And Lord, we know that there are places today that when the name of Jesus is said, there's a fear. And then there's the entreatment of the Holy Spirit as those people come and humble themselves and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Lord, you're working all across the world. But I praise you for what you're doing in those North African countries. Especially, it seems, Lord, you're working with those nations that are suffering under that barbaric religious tone of Islam. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you that you are not discouraged, that you're not fearful. And those that love you and praise you and are born again, those in those difficult places where one could be killed for naming the name of Jesus, will stand for you and praise you and worship you and spread that good news. Lord, help us to be like that too. Be with us now as we look at your word this morning. Speak to our hearts. We need encouragement. Strengthen us. We need physical strength. Lord, be with us spiritually. Help us to keep growing, not be stunted, not be caught in a block of never going forward, but help us to go forward day by day, moment by moment. Lord, if decisions need to be made, even on this day, in this place, I pray they'll be done so. To honor Jesus, for it's in his precious name we pray. Amen. I read a little story about a Little League ball game just a couple of days ago. A spectator asked the boy in the dugout, "How's it going?" The boy responded, "It's 18-0, and we're behind." The man said, I bet you're kind of discouraged." He said, the boy replied, "Why should we be discouraged? We haven't even got up to bat yet. Friends, we're living in tough times. The devil wants to discourage us. He wants to smack us around a little bit. We haven't even stood up. We haven't even testified. We haven't even reached out. And he's beating us up so that he wants us to sit down, shut up, and be quiet. Look, we haven't even got going yet. We're more to do, and we can do it. We're living in a tough time, challenging times, but they are times in which we can have victory." Now I want you to turn over to Luke, and I'm going to read chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, and you'll recognize this passage. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." Caesar Augustus, anybody ever heard of that fellow? He's just a figment of somebody's comic book imagination. No, he was a real guy. The Romans looked at the Mediterranean as a Mediterranean lake. They controlled all the territory all the way around. Caesar Augustus was a powerful man. They said, I think I want a census to be taken. I want to know how much taxes I'm supposed to be getting, not getting. I want this to happen. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. I remember reading about 6 or 7 years ago, somebody brought out a little book, and part of the chapter was that there was never a governor in Syria named Cyrenius. And he pointed to this particular fact and pointed to that particular fact, these particular ears and those particular ears and all those kind of things. And it was hailed as a revolutionary book that authenticated history and rewrote the history that was obviously wrong and needed to be treated right and all those kind of things. I always think that's a song we just read. And the Lord sits in heaven and laughs. 2 years later, somebody else wrote a book. And it dealt with one point, the authentication of the governor of Syria, whose name was Cyrenius. They actually found documents, historical documents. They actually found clay tablets. They actually found some of these things. That irrevocable, you can't be disputed, that point to him being the governor of Syria. It says, and they all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, that's where they were living, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Now listen, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Did God ever promise David some kind of thing about a king shall reign, putting on your throne, etc., and his reign will be forever? Yes. Mary and Joseph were up there in Galilee. But this all-powerful governor said, I want you to go to your hometown, so that we can get an accurate census of who's here. So they didn't do so voluntarily. They didn't do so thinking, well, we need to go to Bethlehem that prophecy might be fulfilled in our lives. Even though Mary had been told, and Joseph, something special was going on. They didn't even think about that, but God was thinking about that. And he moved this little fellow called governor of Syria to say, hey, send all these people back to their birthplace, to their household lineage place. We should never be discouraged, friends. We've not hardly even got it to bat. God's going to do great things in this old world. Friends, we're living in tough times, most surely challenging times, but God moves people. And Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. What does it mean that he was of the house and lineage of David? David the king? Yeah, that guy. This little carpenter guy from Nazareth, Joseph, actually was in the royal family of David. Isn't that amazing? And he was to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes. What are swaddling clothes? That's those little onesie things, little zipper. I don't think so. What is it? What will we say, maybe? Like rags, just strips of cloth. Wrap them up, strips of cloth, wrap them up. Probably all kinds of piece of cast-off clothing, cloth. But there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over the flocks by night. And the angel of the Lord came unto them and said, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. I always think it's amazing. These people always have these great encounters with God and angels and all these kind of things. It doesn't faze them a bit. They yabber about it for a few days, and in the next 10 days, they've forgotten all about it. Listen, if you saw an angel, you would not forget about it in the next week or so. Especially if that angel said, "Hey, Sonia, I want to talk to you a little bit." No, Sonia would be rushing about, telling everybody, "Guess what? An angel talked to me the other day." And of course, everybody would be going, that's why we don't do it. But listen, when something happens so overwhelming, so wonderful, it doesn't make any difference what the reaction are and to the audience that we speak that word to, because it's overpowering that we must tell. They must tell. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and living in King Herod's palace." Whoops, no. Lying in a manger. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth good peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from then into the heavens, the shepherds said to one another," hey, Joe, did you have that same dream that I had? Did somebody say anything to you? No. "They said to each other, Let us now even go to Bethlehem and see this thing which is to come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." You'd be doing the same thing. "And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." So now they're blabbing about it all over the place. "And all they that heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds." And don't you know there was probably lots of people who said, "Oh my goodness, Willard and Bob have been on the sauce again." They didn't care. They told about the great things that had happened. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She didn't know exactly what everything was going on, but she wanted to hold these things close to her. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard and seen as it was told unto them. And when the eighth day were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. On the eighth day, they were accomplished the rite of circumcision. 8 days. We know from the scripture and other places that in 8 days, Mary and Joseph went to the temple in Jerusalem. So this is amazing, isn't it? "And when the days of her purification, according to the laws of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him unto the Lord." Going to Jerusalem. "As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opened the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ," the Lord's Messiah. "And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of my heart, many hearts, may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, daughter of Peniel, the tribe of Asher. Isn't it amazing to give all these little details? Most of the time, when somebody introduces me, they just say, this is Mike Harris. They might say something like, he's our pastor or something like that. But they don't say, son of Doris and Earl, born in Mississippi, who was there in Biloxi for about 8 or 9 days because his dad was in the tech school and his mom and dad were there. And he never went back to Biloxi again until almost 25 years later. He went there for a hurricane. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. And she was coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise to the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Can you imagine these two people running around in the temple? He's here. Messiah's here. I just talked to his parents. He's out there. I'm sure a lot of those people probably thought, the old man has finally bought the farm. All kinds of things, I'm sure. But nevertheless, they told it. And when he had performed all the things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city. So we think about where Jesus was born. He was born in Bethlehem. In 8 days, where was he at? Jerusalem, in the temple. From there, he didn't go back to Bethlehem. He went home to Nazareth. But all those prophetic prophecies came true. Bingo, bingo, bingo. No one could have ever planned such a thing as that. Friends, we're living in tough times, but the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, promised for centuries. But the people of God were looking. They were expecting. They were filled with hope. And when a spark could set that off, they began to be a flame of fire for the Lord. They were expected, for 100 years had passed. Some of you are thinking, that's just about how old you are, Pastor Mike. Their faith, their hope, was finally fulfilled in that baby. Hindsight, of course, is always 20/20, isn't it? There are 300 Old Testament prophecies fulfilled in the first coming of the Lord Jesus. Listen, this book that I've laid here on this pulpit, this book, maybe you have one in your hands, in your lap. Maybe you can reach over and touch that book. Listen, this book is true. It's never wrong, no matter what the critics say. I remember when I was in seminary, somebody had been doing some archaeology, and they were looking for the place where the Apostle Paul was told to go to a street called Straight, and they couldn't find it. Couldn't find any mention of it in any particular Roman chronicles or any of those kind of things. But you know, there's these other people out there. They got their little brushes, and they got their little forks, and they got their little spoons, and they got their little diggers, and they found something about that long, maybe just a little bit longer, about that wide. They began to dust it off and pull it up, and hey, this is a street sign. The street was called Straight. I think about that passage where the Lord in heaven laughs at them. Let all these people write all this garbage junk books. And when all that settles down, he says, hey, I got a couple of guys up there. Let's see if they can find that stone. And they could do it. Hindsight is always 20/20. But listen, we're to be expectant. We're to be looking. We're to be anxious to see what God will do. 300 Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled in the first coming of Jesus. Listen, this book is true. It's never wrong, no matter what anyone says. This means that the prophecies of Jesus' first coming, which have been validated, and even historical pieces of artifacts have been found, it means that the prophecies about Jesus coming back again soon, guess what those are? They're true as well. When Jesus comes again, he will vanquish all evil. I'm kind of thinking that's a good thing. All oppression will cease. No more disease. I like that idea. No more cancer. I like that idea. No more murder. I like that idea. No more robbery. No more oppression of any kind. All that is going to fade away. Matthew 24 says, in verse 36 and following, heaven, Jesus said, and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to be dramatic. Everything's going to be copacetic. Everything's going to be... Everything's just like it's supposed to be. Everybody's doing their thing. Everybody's out doing this. Everybody's out politicking. Everybody's, you know, worrying about the Senate, passing bills and all that kind of stuff. Worrying about the president, whether he's got a brain in his head and all that kind of stuff. It doesn't matter. What matters is what God is doing. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken. The other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken. The other left. Two men in the field, working in the field, maybe planting something, harvesting something. Women are grinding. What's that? This is everyday normal stuff, isn't it? Watch therefore, the Lord Jesus, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. All this is going to be normal activities. Everybody's doing all their thing. Have to do this. Got to get this cleaned up. Got to get that picked up. Got to get, and boom, it's going to happen. All these prophecies. I have pet peeves. You probably do too. All these prophecies, which preachers and evangelists and TV personalities take and make books about it and all those kind of things, set dates when this is going to happen. You know what they're doing? They're just fleecing the sheep. They don't know nothing. They don't know any more about it than you know. They have no idea what God is going to do because their mind cannot comprehend what God is going to do. The Lord Jesus says, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. What is he encouraging us to be all the time? Just ready. Just ready. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord comes, when he comes, shall find so doing. I want to interject a little humor here. Just the other day, I was told and asked, all my life, I've been looking for the perfect job, they said. All my life, I've been looking for the perfect job. My first job was working in an orange juice factory, but I got canned. What? Somebody say that already? Just couldn't concentrate. That's right. But in reality, boy, I'll tell you, you folks are sharp. Hardships and difficulties have been and always will be with us until that victorious day when the glorified, resurrected, glorified Lord of all there is comes again in his radiant glory, and it's going to be spectacular. And of course, someone said, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, there's three things in Psalm 46 I thought we might think about today. Know this, that everyone is going to face troubles in this life. That's all there is to it, everybody. Jesus tells us, John says, John 16, 33, those things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In this world you shall have tribulation or troubles. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So even in the life we live on a day-to-day basis, and sometimes it's fun, and sometimes it's glorious, and sometimes it's in the latrine, it doesn't matter. Jesus has overcome. And as we read the scriptures, we find that every biblical character, every one of them, even the Lord himself, had trials and problems. There are many false teachers that intimate that believing in Jesus, you're going to be shielded from some kind of problems, some kind of difficulties. You know what that is? That's just a bald-faced lie. That's all that is. In heaven, life will be trouble-free, but we're not in heaven. In heaven, there's not going to be any pain anymore, but we're not in heaven. No more bill collectors in heaven. No one's going to have to go to the hospital. Don't need doctors and lawyers, so some of you people need to start trying to figure out another occupation. But all that's in heaven. That's not here. Here we have all the need for all those things, and those things are going to happen all the time. But John says in Revelation 21, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For me, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adored for her husband. You know, I had noticed this over the years because I have had the privilege of marrying people. And it's a funny thing. I have seen girls, they come with their fiancé, and we talk about whatever they're wanting to do in the marriage or stuff like that. I always look at that as an opportunity to talk about Jesus to them. We do all those kind of things. And sometimes I have thought, now this, I shouldn't say this, right? So plug your ears. I have thought to myself, buddy, have you took a look at that gal that you're trying to marry? Man, she's not very pretty. She's a little bit chunky. Or she's as skinny as a beanpole. I've thought all, isn't that terrible? I've thought all those kind of things. But then we take away the pulpit here. We put the steps over here in the front. And we begin to have this ceremony. And I'm up here and I've got, the last couple of times it's been really wild. I think we had 8 or 10 of these best men people and 8 or 10 of these bridesmaid people up and down the stairs like that. I don't know if it was me and Grayson, I think, back there trying to do the sound for them. You always ask, are you going to have any music? Oh, we got that taken care of. My sister-in-law plays the piano beautifully or something like that. And at the day of the practice, they say, you know, that music thing, preacher, we don't have anybody can play for us. What do you want me to do about it? That's not my deal. But anyway, Matt and I are sitting back there. And I don't know. They had maids of honor, whatever. Just all the way down to the floor over here. I don't know, 8 or 10 or something like that. Best men, all the way over here, that kind of thing. I thought, my goodness, my goodness. Of course, we had those steps over here. And we had a practice. And I told the girl, I said, you know, when you come over to these steps, you know, you're going to have to, if your wedding gown is a little bit big, you're going to have to, you know, hike it up a little bit, or you'll never get up that first step. You know what they do? It goes in one ear, out the other, down here. Not a thing. So here we go. 52,000 bridesmaids and best men and stuff. I've never seen such a gang in all my life. Finally, the bride. Here comes the bride. She actually did look pretty pretty, I'll tell you. But she came up, and I didn't know they had such a thing as this. But, you know, if you put your feet together, your dress goes down here like this, and it gets real small, and then it goes poofy. Have you seen those dresses like that? Yes, brief, poofy, but it's still just about that big. And so she comes up here to this thing, and she goes like this. And, of course, Grayson is being the observant young man that he is. He goes, "Papa, she's not going to get up the stairs." And I said, "Yeah, I don't think she is either." He says, "You think we should help?" But it was a good thing they had 22 bridesmaids and people like that. Because one of those bridesmaids, or whatever they're called, was about 6'4". And she wants to pump iron. She came down the step, and she just picked that gal up and went, boom. Oh, wait a second. That was just the first step. She couldn't get up the other step either. There were four more steps. Poom, poom, poom. Finally got her up to there. Grayson said to me, "I think she's made it." Okay, so we did the thing. Her grandfather or somebody married her was really, really sweet and things like that. But the only reason that girl got up there is because the girl over here literally picked her up and set her on that top step. We do that kind of stuff all the time, don't we? John said, "I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, from heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." I have done a few weddings. I've never seen an ugly bride yet. They might have been ugly the day before, but they go someplace and get fixed. Am I supposed to say stuff like that? Let's go on. John says, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God, his temple is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God.'" God is going to be right there with us. "And God shall wipe away every tear." God's not going to send somebody else to do that. He's going to do it himself. "From their eyes, there's not going to be any more death." I like that, because I do those other things too. Those things called funerals. The first one I ever did was one of our deacons lived over in Columbia City at that time. They had a beautiful old house they turned into an old folks home. Beautiful. And so I would go over there in the afternoons. I would take the same message I preached in the morning, and take it over there and preach. And they were so sweet. This one little lady, she came up to me, patted me on the shoulder. She said, "Can I give you a little kiss on your cheek?" I said, "I guess so." She gave me a little kiss. She said, "My husband was a pastor for 60 years. He never once preached a good sermon like you did." Whoa, all right, I like this lady. Is there some way we can record that, you know? But nevertheless, these things are all part of who we are and what we're about. You know, God's going to wipe away every tear. There's nobody moaning. There's no crying there anymore. There's not any death there anymore. There's no sorrow. There's no crying. There's no pain. Some of you might be right here this morning, and you're just sitting there in pain. And you're wondering, "Lord, why me? Why do I have this pain?" I can't tell you. But I can tell you that eventually the former things are going to pass away. "And he that sits upon that throne says, 'Behold, I make all things new. And John said, he says it very right, for these words are true and faithful. Thank you, Lord. The day is coming when all that is going to be manifest. Not yet. Maybe even today, but not yet. I've been fortunate to have seen some just beautiful places. When I lived out in Montana, we would go over to Glacier Park. Beautiful. I've told you all this stuff. Yellowstone Park. All these beautiful places. God's creation is spectacular. But there's something even better, more beautiful, beyond our wildest dreams. That's heaven. If you've ever stood in some beautiful place, like I said, in Glacier Park, and looked at those mountains and went, wow, Lord. What? I mean, oh, man. Well, listen, according to Revelation 21 and 22, there's going to be a new Jerusalem, or heaven is depicted as a place so stunningly beautiful. The holy city, the new Jerusalem, was prepared as a bride adored for her husband. It's beautiful, spectacular. Having the glory of God as its light, like the jasper stone, clear as crystal. The city has 12 gates. At these gates, there are going to be 12 gatekeepers, angels. The walls have written on them the names of the 12 tribes. The foundation walls have the names of the 12 apostles. 12 tribes, 12 apostles, amazing. The foundations have precious stones, jasper, sarin, chalcedon, emerald. I know what an emerald is. I've looked and I could not find a picture of some of these other things. Other precious stones. The gates are going to be a pearl. The city streets. This just shows you the astounding and magnificent displacement of our ideas versus God's ideas. The streets in heaven are not going to be blacktop. They're going to be what? Gold. Whoa, man. There's no need for a temple there because the Lamb, God Almighty, he shall be the temple. The city has no need for sun or moon because the glory of God will light it. The names of the saved will be written in the Lamb's book of life. It's beyond description. But here's the greatest part. Over in Revelation 21:4, it says this. I love this part. God shall wipe away all their tears. All that trouble, all that hardship, all those kind of things, in one instance, in one moment, going to be gone from your mind and memory forever. No more death there. There's not going to be any sorrow there. There's not going to be any crying there. There's not going to be any pain. For all these things are former things, and they've all passed away. And when I got to this place in my sermon, I thought to myself, hey, soon and very soon,
hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, we are looking forward to all you have for us. We live in a world that's tattered and torn, on the precipice of destruction. But you promised us that you're going to see us through it, and there's going to be a better and more glorious day ahead. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. We ask you, Father, that we might, in these days, as we celebrate the Lord Jesus' birth, oh, wouldn't it have been cool, Lord, to hear those angels sing? We're going to hear. We're going to see. We're going to be a part of it. And so, Lord, as we leave this place today, we've come to worship you in the spirit and the truth. I pray, Father, that we will leave this place saying, glory, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Lord, dismiss us. Keep us strong. Bless us. Help us in our celebrations that Jesus might be the focal point. For these things I ask in his precious name. Amen. Amen.
I have the results of the vote. For the merger, there are 16 nays and 17 yeas. So the motion passes.